to uphold the authority of the Word of God, beginning with the very first book of the Bible and the first verse of that book, the first verse of the book of Genesis. In his time here in the valley since Wednesday through his time with us this morning, he will have spoken to some 12,000 people and actually began his professional career back in Australia 25 years ago as a biology teacher. But for the last more than dozen years, he has really given great help to people as he leads this organization to really sort through the issue of the truth of God as it relates to creation and other related events that you find in the beginning part of Genesis. So it's great to have him here this morning. Would you please welcome with me Dr. Ken Ham.
Well, for those of you who know me, you know I don't speak American. But you've got to get used to this because you're going to speak it in heaven, as I tell people. You can't prove I'm wrong yet. You know, it really is great to be back here. I appreciate the privilege of being able to speak to you. I was here actually 14 years ago. I don't know how many remember that. But we actually made a film with Films for Christ, The Genesis Solution, on the importance of the book of Genesis that has now gone around the world, translated into a number of different languages, and is the best-selling video that we have on the importance of the book of Genesis. We have some copies out there with us this morning, but that started in this church 14 years ago. Isn't that something? Really praise the Lord for that. Well, I thought I should start off with going to talk about Genesis, creation, evolution, and so on, but sharing with you that really we're not on about creation, evolution, so much as we're on about the authority of the Word of God as an organization. And I want you to see that this morning, and to start off with, I really need to ask you some questions because, you see, I don't know about you, but I'm really concerned at what's happening in America when you see the increasing abortion and homosexual behavior and lawlessness and euthanasia, suicide and school violence. Do you think there's something wrong? Certainly something wrong. Well, we know what it is, sin, right? But we're going to talk more about what's happened here, and I want us to understand the foundational nature of the problem. To start with, I want to ask you all a question. This is an Australian question, so you've got to get ready for it. Does anyone here believe that kangaroos once lived in the Middle East? See four or five hands. Well, look, put your hands up if you believe Noah's flood was a real event in history. Oh, very good. Okay, put your hand up if you believe Noah's ark was a real boat. Okay, put your hand up if you believe two of every kind of land animal, seven of some, but including the kangaroos, got on board that boat. Okay, have a think about where it landed. Now, this is pretty tough. Now, okay, you ready? Does anyone here now believe that kangaroos once lived in the Middle East? That's like the first service. It takes 10 seconds to change people's minds in Arizona. You know, I always enjoy asking that question, and we have fun doing that, but actually it has a very, very serious reason. You see, I want to point out to us that I believe all of us, myself included, have been what I call evolutionized. Now, by evolutionized, some of you might get insulted and say, but I don't believe in evolution. You know, as one kid said to me, sir, evolution, isn't that apes and stuff? Well, actually, many people, when they think of evolution, think of the idea of molecules becoming some sort of living system millions of years ago and one kind of animal changing to another, ape-like creatures into people, till you get your average American up the top here. And they look at that and they say, that's evolution. Actually, you know what? That's not evolution. You know what that is? It's a mechanism. See, Darwin popularized a mechanism as the so-called scientific justification to defend the idea that life arose without God. But evolution itself is much more than a mechanism. It's a whole way of thinking that man by himself, independent of God, determines truth. And you know where that started, don't you? In the Garden of Eden. When Adam said, I'm not going to listen to God's word, I'll decide truth for myself. And that's our problem because we're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And I suggest to you that that problem is what I'm talking about this morning when I'm asking questions even like kangaroos in the Middle East. And I'll tell you why. Because I find that most people in our churches, sadly, across this nation, around the world, tend to think more on the Bible as a book about religion, a book about salvation, and not as a history book. You see, if this is a revelation from God who knows everything, then it must be foundational to all of our thinking. But what we tend to do is start outside the Bible and take our thinking to the Bible instead of starting from the Bible. See, do you know what I call the Bible? I call the Bible the history book of the universe. Because Christianity is based in history, isn't it? Is it based in stories or is it based in real history? It's based in real history. The events of Jesus Christ, birth, death, resurrection. If they weren't literal events in history, How can we be saved? If there wasn't a literal man in a literal garden with a literal fruit who literally rebelled, to whom we're all related and descendants of, then why are we sinners? Who are we? Where do we come from? You see, the history of the universe, according to the Bible, is from creation to consummation, these events in between. Things haven't always been the same. Things have changed. There was a time when everything was perfect. Sin and death entered the world. There was a time when there wasn't a flood, and then a flood destroyed the world. There was a time when there was one language, and God gave different languages. There's a time when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped into history to become a man. There's a time in the future when there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And once you're over 40, you're really looking forward to it, aren't you? And you see, this is the history of the universe from beginning to end. And one of the things that I want to get across to us is this. As Christians, we need to be putting on our biblical glasses and looking at the universe through the Bible's eyes. In other words, as I teach my children, we use the Bible as a set of glasses. You put on your glasses and you look at the world through the biblical glasses. You see, asking the questions about kangaroos in the Middle East, if we had on our biblical glasses and we're thinking in terms of history, we know a boat landed in the Middle East with all the land animals, not just kangaroos. And so if we understand the history, we have a way of understanding this world today. And see, I believe that that's by and large what we've forgotten. We tend to start outside the Bible and add our ideas to the Bible. And you know where I believe this shows up in a big way? I believe it shows up in the way we teach our children. You see, I think a lot of Sunday school literature sadly misses the mark, because what we tend to do, we sort of live in the past in a sense, I think, but we tend to teach Bible stories. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, those Bible stories are important. Jonah and the great fish, the feeding of the 5,000, Paul's missionary journeys, Jesus on the cross. Absolutely they're important. My parents taught them to me. But here's the problem, it's how we teach them. You see, what we tend to do today is this. Bible stories, Bible stories, Bible stories. But our kids go into the big bad world. And they go to public school and they go to colleges and they watch TV and they read books. You know what they're told today? But science has proved the Bible wrong. You can't trust the Bible. The Bible says there was a global flood. There never was a global flood. The Bible talks about Noah's Ark. Noah couldn't have got all those animals on the Ark anyway. The Bible says the sun, moon, and stars were made on day four. That's not right. The Big Bang produced the sun before the earth. There's not enough water to cover the earth anyway. And the Bible says Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Where did Cain get his wife? And where did the races of people come from? And the Bible doesn't talk about dinosaurs. And, well, dinosaurs we know are millions of years old. No, are prehistoric animals. You can't trust the Bible. It's just a religious book. You know what we do in our churches? We teach Bible stories, Bible stories, Bible stories. You see, one of the things that really hit me was John 3, verse 12, where Jesus said, if you can't believe me when I talk about earthly things, then how can you believe me when I talk about heavenly things? And you know what hit me? If our children are really being told, in a sense, that you can't trust the Bible when it talks about geology, biology, and astronomy, why should they believe it when it talks about morality and salvation? We need to understand that the Bible connects to the real world. Because you see, the Bible does talk about dinosaurs. It talks about land animals on day six. What were dinosaurs? Land animals, right? And the Bible does talk about the creation, the sun, moon, and stars after the creation of the earth. And the Bible does talk about a global flood. And we should be connecting the Bible to the real world. The Bible connects to the Grand Canyon. It connects to death and suffering. It connects to plants. It connects to animals. It connects to you and me. If you ask the average Sunday school teacher today in a lot of churches, oh, do you teach astronomy, biology, and geology in your Sunday school class? A lot of people would say, well, no, we teach about Jesus. See, therein lies, I think, a big problem. That our children grow up thinking the Bible's about Jesus, it's about relationships, it's about religious stuff, but out here in the world, oh, that's what the world's all about. And we have disconnected the Bible from the real world. But you see, the Bible connects to everything. And where it touches on geology, it's right. If not, why should you trust any of it? Where it touches on biology, it has to be right. If not, why trust any of it? Where it touches on astronomy, it's right. Or why trust any of it? And as I look around today, I see in public education that by and large, they've thrown God out of science, haven't they? They've thrown God out of the schools. But you know what we've done in our churches? We've divorced science from God. You see, they've disconnected the Bible from the real world, and we tend to reinforce that by just teaching it as a so-called religious book. And what we've got to do is get back to understanding that the Bible is a book of history. Christianity is based in history. The history is foundational to our thinking, connects to the real world. Look, let me ask you another question to illustrate this. This is an easy question. How many of you saw those movies, Lost World or Jurassic Park? Those evolutionary, new age, humanistic, anti-God, atheistic movies. Well, see, a lot of you saw them. I saw it for research purposes only, I want you to understand. But you remember Tyrannosaurus Rex, that dinosaur with sharp teeth? This would be an easy question. How would this dinosaur originally have been described? Who would say plant eater? Okay, who would say meat eater? Who doesn't know? Who's not game to answer any of my questions anymore? You know, I find the majority of people in churches would say it's a meat eater. But in actual fact, when we put on our biblical glasses and think of the history of the universe from the Bible, looking at the world, see, when you look at the world today, do you realize you're not looking at the world God made? Have I got you confused? You're looking at the world God made, but has suffered changes. The changes because of sin, because of the curse, because of the flood, because of the Tower of Babel. Changes. It's a different world. And you see, when you look out there today, we see animals with sharp teeth eating meat, and we automatically think, oh, well, animals with sharp teeth always ate meat. No, that's not true. In fact, there are animals out there with sharp teeth that don't eat meat, too. Just because an animal has sharp teeth doesn't mean it's a meat eater. It just means it has sharp teeth. But if you look at the world through the Bible's eyes, originally, Genesis 1, 29 and 30, God told Adam and Eve only to eat fruits and plants. He told the animals only to eat plants. If we take God at his word, then originally the animals and man were vegetarian. Now, if you knocked off some dead chicken this week, does that mean you're in trouble? No, because in Genesis 9 after the flood, here's another change. See, things haven't always been the same. Things change. Because God's revealed that to us. After the flood, he said, just as I gave you the plants, now I give you the animals. And do you know why I believe this is important? I believe if you take Genesis to Revelation consistently, interpreting Scripture with Scripture, you can come to no other conclusion than death, bloodshed, disease, and suffering is a consequence of sin. I want you to think about this. At the end of the sixth day of creation, when God stood back and said, everything I've made is very good, do you think the world was full of diseases like cancer? That doesn't make sense, does it? But friends, here's a challenge for us. I know of many Christians, and they are Christians, but I know of many Christians and Christian leaders today who believe in millions of years. And I don't believe many of them have thought through the consequences of this. Because many of us allow our children to be taught about dinosaurs millions of years ago. There are many Sunday school teachers that tell their children, oh, well, dinosaurs could have died out millions of years ago. Whoa, wait a minute. As soon as you believe in millions of years, you've got all these millions of layers of fossils, like the layers of the Grand Canyon, before man. And if you've got all these layers of fossils before man, you've got death, bloodshed, diseases. You know, in the dinosaur bones, there's evidence of diseases like cancer. In fact, the diseases we have in the world today are prevalent in the fossil record in all sorts of bones. Thorns. When does the Bible say thorns came into the world? Before sin or after? After sin. But wait a minute. According to the fossil record, and the way the evolutionists interpret it, you've got thorns hundreds of millions of years before man. Does that mean the Bible's wrong? You see, death, bloodshed, disease, suffering. When was the first bloodshed according to the Bible? You know, in Genesis 3, when God took an animal and killed an animal, gave coats of skins to Adam and Eve and clothed them, the origin of clothing, the first blood sacrifice as a covering for their sin, a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. But if you had the shedding of blood millions of years before Adam sinned, what has the shedding of blood got to do with the atonement? You see, I believe that many people have not thought through this. That's why I understand what Paul says, that the whole of creation groans in pain. There's something wrong with today's world. And you know, this is where a lot of non-Christians misunderstand, because I think we Christians give the wrong idea. We say to people, we go to the Grand Canyon, look at this beautiful place. And they look and say, well, I see billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water. Because in reality, is the world a beautiful place? You know what? You look out there, children die, people are suffering, there are sorts of catastrophes, there's diseases. I mean, there's a remnant of beauty in the creation, but at the same time, it's broken, isn't it? Because of sin. And you see, that's why I think, you know, when we sing that hymn, all things bright and beautiful, the Lord God made them all, we should have another verse, all things marred and mutated, the Lord God cursed them all, so that we understand the real nature of the universe. And you see, oftentimes we give Christians a wrong idea when we say, look at this world, can't you see there's a God of love? And they look out there and say, all this death and suffering and disease, who wants a God like that? But you see, that's because of our sin. Do you realize when we believe in millions of years, we're blaming God for the mess of this world instead of our sin? But there is a God of love, because even though we and Adam didn't want God, he sent his Son to die on a cross, shed his blood, be raised from the dead, so those who trust in him can spend eternity with him. Isn't that a great message? Now, I want you to think through this carefully, because I want you to see what a difference it makes if, for instance, in our Sunday schools, we were teaching the Bible as history, and so you see, you should be teaching your children like this. You know, when you come across a dinosaur bone, you know what I do with my children? We put on our biblical glasses and we say, okay, what do we know about it? It's dead. Okay, could that have existed before man sinned? No. Could not have. Because there was no death before sin, no disease before sin. Well, how do you form a fossil anyway? Well, you know, animals normally decay when they die, but if you cover something quickly, you can form fossils. And how do you get all the fossil layers of the Grand Canyon and fossil layers all over the earth and billions of dead things? Well, you'd need a lot of water and a lot of mud. Is there anything in history that could tell us how that could happen? Ah, the flood of Noah's day. Put on your biblical glasses. No death before sin, the flood of Noah's day. You know, I think you'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. You know what you find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. You know, Peter warns us about this. In 2 Peter 3, Peter says this, beginning at verse 3, in the last days there are going to be scoffers who scoff at those of us who believe Jesus is coming again, because the underlying philosophy of the age is going to be that all things continue as they have done since the beginning. Nothing's really changed. What we see out there has gone on for millions of years. The death and the suffering and so on has gone on for millions of years. Nothing's really changed. And they deny that God created. They are willingly ignorant, verse 5, that God created. And verse 6, they're willingly ignorant that God judged with a flood. And verse 10, they're willingly ignorant or deliberately reject that God's going to judge next time by fire. You see what Peter's saying? In the last days, the underlying philosophy of the age is, oh, this world, the way we see it, that's the way it's basically always been. It's going to be like that in the future. God didn't create. God didn't judge with a flood. He's not going to judge with fire. But you know what the Bible says? God did create. God did judge with a flood. And by the same word, he's going to judge with fire. Let me give you a practical example. Do you know where that is? It's not far from here. The Grand Canyon. I've been to the Grand Canyon with an evolutionist. We stood there and the evolutionist said, look, do you realize a long time and a little bit of water did this? I stood there, put on my biblical glasses and I said, do you realize a lot of water and a little bit of time did this? See, we have different views of the canyon. He said, but look, those layers are obviously millions of years old. I said, the only thing obvious to me is they're there. None of us saw the canyon form. None of us saw the layers form. How do we know how the layers got there? That's why God said to Job in Job 38, where were you when I made the earth, Job? That's why I taught the children here this week. We had thousands of kids in this auditorium. Next time somebody says millions of years ago, ask them the question God asked Job. Were you there? And when they say, they weren't, but you either, or you weren't either, you say, no, I wasn't, but I know someone who was. And he told me what happened. Isn't it great being a Christian? We know someone who's always been there, who's given us the answers. And so you see, that's why when I look at the Grand Canyon, I don't go out to the Grand Canyon with my children and say, oh, I'm not a geologist, son, I can't tell you how the canyon got there, and I'm not a scientist. I go out there and say, well, you know what? I'm not a geologist, but I do have the Word of God, and I know those layers couldn't have been laid down before sin. They're full of dead things, and I know there was a global flood, and I know Psalm 104 indicates at the end of the flood, God raised up the mountains and sank the ocean basins. That makes a lot of sense, you know, because if you level out all the mountains and the ocean basins today, there's enough water to cover to a depth of 2 miles. The Kaibab Plateau is raised up, so if that raised up at the end of the flood formed a big dam, and then the water broke through and gouged out the canyon to allow the Colorado River to come through, boy, that makes a lot of sense. I'm putting on my biblical glasses. And then, you imagine if the park rangers were trained by Answers in Genesis. Miracle of miracles, but you could imagine. And when the tourists come, and instead of being told, this is a result of millions of years of Earth history, imagine if they were told, Look at these layers, they're full of dead things. That's a reminder that death came after sin. And look at those layers, they're probably laid down during the flood of Noah's day, which was a judgment because of the wickedness of man. And it's a reminder that God provided an ark of salvation for Noah, and the people had to go through a doorway to be saved. And there's a judgment to come by fire, and God's provided an ark of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved. Get down on your knees and repent. Boy, wouldn't it be great if the park ranger said that? Because you know something? That is the message of the Grand Canyon. But only if you have your biblical glasses on. Because some people say to me, but some of those layers at the canyon consist of thousands of individual layers. They would have taken millions of years. No. When Mount St. Helens erupted, a little rinky-dink volcano, all sorts of catastrophic processes laid down hundreds of feet of layers. This layer here, 30 feet thick, thousands of individual layers, layer upon layer upon layer. It took 3 hours. Now, if a little inky-dinky volcano could do that in 3 hours, what could fountains of the great deep breaking open all over the earth? Tidal waves, earthquakes, water on the earth for months and months. I think you'd find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. You know what you find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Of course, you know, I have people say to me, I have young people sometimes, and you're just getting a little summary here today, but we had a whole seminar here on the weekend, and sometimes I have people say, Mr. Ham, look, if the Bible's right and there really was a flood and God created and the world's not millions of years old, and if it's so obvious as you say, why don't the majority of scientists believe it? You know, I'd be surprised if the majority did believe it. You know why? The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There's more on the broad way than the narrow way. Men love darkness rather than light. Would you be surprised if the majority agreed with the Bible? You see, we have to understand the nature of man. And you know, Peter talks about this. He says, look, they are willingly ignorant. They deliberately reject creation. They deliberately reject. They've got blinders on. They don't want to see the evidence. The essence of the way this is written here in the Greek is they don't want to see the evidence. They refuse to see the evidence. They refuse to believe in a flood. They refuse to believe in creation. Why? Hey, if the Bible's true, and there was a flood, it means God is judge. It means God owns you. It means you're accountable to Him. And by the way, when you think about this, they're willingly ignorant of the flood. Remember, if there was no death before sin, you can't have fossils of animals or man until after sin. Don't you think it makes sense that the flood of Noah produced much of the fossil record? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. And you know, as you think about that, let me show you something here, by the way. Some people think it takes millions of years to make a fossil. Well, here's my favorite fossil. Just to show you it doesn't take millions of years. It's not a relation of mine or anything like that. Maybe evolutionists want to see me like that, but this was a ham somebody left on a table in a village in New Zealand, and after a volcanic eruption, the village was covered with ash. Years later, they dug it out and found it had petrified. Didn't take millions of years, did it? Not at all. But see, I was really interested when the Pathfinder mission went to Mars. Do you remember when the Pathfinder mission was up on Mars? That little thing running around up there. Remember that? And back in the 70s, the Viking lander was up there. Do you know there are canyons on Mars larger than the Grand Canyon? And you know what the scientists proposed? They were eroded by water. Now here's the intriguing thing. Do you know what they said in our local newspaper? A flood of biblical proportions occurred on Mars. They don't believe a flood of biblical proportions occurred on Earth, but they're happy to have one on Mars. And in fact, when you think about it, here's the intriguing thing. Scientists propose a massive flood, not a global flood, but something almost like a global flood, on a planet that has no liquid water. But they refuse to have a global flood on a planet that's mostly covered by water. Now, why do you think that is? You know why it is? Because if there's a global flood on Earth, then the Bible's right. And if the Bible's right, then there are lots of implications. Because you know what the implications are? If God made the first man, Adam, we're all descendants of Adam. Who owns us? God. To whom are we accountable? God. Who sets the rules? God. But if we're all descendants of some ape-like creature, some animal, and there's no God, to whom are we accountable? No one. Who sets the rules? We do. What do you think would happen if you take whole generations of children through an education system and teach them there's no God and you're just a product of matter eventually they would do whatever they want to do because, hey, there's no absolute. I can write my own rules. Do you think that's happening? Absolutely. See, do you know why I believe what I do? If you believe marriage is a man, one man and one woman for life, why? You know the only reason is because Genesis is true. In Matthew 19, when Jesus was asked about divorce that concerned marriage, you know what he said? Haven't you read? And then he quoted from Genesis 1 and 2. He made them male and female, for this cause shall man be his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, twain will be one flesh. You become one because you're one flesh. The woman didn't come from an ape woman and the man from an ape man. The woman came from the man, from his side. You become one physically and spiritually because you're one flesh. It's a man and a woman and not a man and a man. Why? It's very simple, you know. God made a man and a woman, not a man and a man. That is pretty simple, don't you think? But you see, it's only simple if Genesis is true, if the history is true. Do you see how important it is to understand the Bible as history and teach it as history? Because if there wasn't a literal man in a literal garden who literally rebelled, a literal woman who was made from his side in history, who are we? Where do we come from? Why are we sinners? But you know, it's not just marriage. Try to name one biblical doctrine of theology that ultimately, directly or indirectly, is not founded in Genesis 1 to 11, in the history of Genesis 1 to 11. Why are we sinners? Genesis 1 to 11. Why is there death? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we wear clothes? Genesis 1 to 11. Why did Jesus die on a cross? Genesis 1 to 11. Why are there thorns? Genesis 1 to 11. Why does man have dominion? Genesis 1 to 11. 7 day week? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we need a new heavens and new earth? Genesis 1 to 11. Why is Jesus called the last Adam? Genesis 1 to 11. You get the idea. Do you think Genesis 1 to 11 is important? Absolutely. It's the history that's foundational to the rest of the Bible, to all of our doctrine. It connects the Bible to geology, to astronomy. It connects the Bible to biology. It connects the Bible to morality. See, think about that. If you don't teach the children that the Bible is right when it talks about geology, astronomy, and biology, and you let them be taught what the world is teaching and you don't counteract it, then why should they connect the Bible to morality? Because you see, if God's word's true, there's a basis for right and wrong. Marriage is one man for one woman. We wear clothes because of sin. There's rightful place for sex within marriage. But the more people believe we determine truth, man by himself, and evolution is the justification for that. Write your own rules. Do what you want with sex. Abort babies. Get rid of spare cats. Get rid of spare kids. What's the difference? And you know what we see happening in America today? We see the collapse of Christian morality and the increase in humanist philosophy. You know why? Because the Bible has been disconnected from the real world. The Bible was disconnected in geology, biology, and astronomy, and now they've disconnected it in morality. And they've replaced it with man's opinions determining truth. So man's ideas connect to the real world. And we have a whole different structure. That's the whole issue of Christianity versus humanism. At a foundational level, it's creation versus evolution. You know, take school violence. When Al Gore, who's an ardent evolutionist, by the way, was interviewed on Larry King Live not long ago and asked about school violence, he said, "I think that violence has that capacity because of our evolutionary heritage, because of the laws of nature, tooth and fang." Well, Mr. Gore, you're only partly right. There is a connection between evolution and school violence, but it's not because it's our evolutionary heritage, it's because it's being taught as our evolutionary heritage. And the more children are taught that they're just an animal, materialism is absolute, property is inherited matter, that's how you got here, the Bible's not true, throw out the Ten Commandments, throw out the Bible. Man determines truth. Should we be surprised that kids start acting in accord with that foundation? You see, I sum it up this way with two castle diagrams. Here's the foundation of creation, God's word is truth, the structure of Christianity, foundation of evolution, man determines truth, humanism, those issues, abortion, etc. The humanists are very clever. How do you get rid of Christianity? You don't go firing at the castle straight off. You knock out the foundation. How do you do that? You get rid of the history. You disconnect the Bible from the real world. Get rid of Genesis 1 to 11. This will collapse, and that's what's happening. And even Christians are helping that, sadly. And what do Christians do? Shoot at each other, shoot into nowhere, shoot themselves at the foot, take pot shots at the issues. You know what I mean by that? Too many of us think that abortion is the problem in this nation and homosexual behavior is the problem and pornography is the problem. They're not the problems. They're the symptoms. They're the symptoms of a change in foundation. You see, when Christian thinking and God's word permeated the culture, and you say you're a sinner, people say, yeah, I know what you mean. Abortion's wrong. Yeah, you're right. But when it's this foundation, you're a sinner, what are you talking about? Abortion's wrong. No, it's not. You see, that's why even in this post-Christian culture we have today, you can't use the same method of evangelism with all people. Certainly it's the same message about Jesus on the cross, but the more they have a different foundation, the more they won't understand that message till you start and restore the foundation from the beginning. And the solution, as we say to people, is to get out and preach the authority of the Word of God. But you know what the problem is today? When you go out there to preach God's Word, people scoff at us. They say, oh, God's Word? The Bible? That's just a religious book. And besides which, it's wrong in geology, it's wrong in astronomy, it's wrong in biology, and Noah couldn't get all the animals on the ark, and dinosaurs prove the Bible's wrong, and there's not enough water for the flood anyway, and carbon dating proves the Bible's wrong, and where did Cain get his wife, and they ask all these questions, and what do? We sort of retreat. Oh, well, trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus? If it can't get it right in those other areas, why should I trust it there? You see, that's why we need answers. And that's why we need to be training our children right from they're born to connect the Bible to the real world. It's a history book giving them answers in biology, geology, astronomy, so that they understand what it's talking about and morality is true and salvation is true. The Bible is a very special book. And you know what? The more I've studied this area, the more I can tell you that where it touches on biology, it's true. Where it touches on astronomy, it's true. Where it touches on geology, it's true. And we should use the Bible to judge man's opinions and not the other way around. Where it talks about salvation, it's true. The message of salvation is dependent upon the history in Genesis. Well, I could go on for millions of years, but there's going to be millions of people trying to get in for the next service. So just before we close, one of the most important parts of our ministry is to provide resources for people. And I don't look on this as being commercial. Friends, we need resources. I look on these as tools to equip us. If you're on the internet, we have some flyers out there. Look up answersingenesis.org. By the way, if you missed out on the seminar this weekend, you're saying, I should have been there. Next Saturday, I believe, look up our website. We're going to replay all the talks that we did here for the seminar. In fact, Chris, the sound man, graciously recorded them all on mini disc for us, and we're going to replay those so the whole world can hear them. So see, Grace Community is going to be famous next Saturday. Actually, we have 6,000 people a day accessing our website at the present time. So you can be praying for that. My book, The Lie Evolution, here are some just basic materials real quickly for you. My book, The Lie, is a very, very important book, I believe, because it deals with what I did this morning, the foundational nature of the book of Genesis, our connection to morality, why Christians can't believe in evolution, and so on. And then this one, this is a brand new book, 20 of the most asked questions people ask in this area answered. Tremendous resource to help you, equip you, so you can equip others and answer skeptics. Where did Cain get his wife? What about the races? What about dinosaurs? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? And how did animals get to Australia after the flood? There's some real important questions there, as you can see. You know, where'd the water come from? And it's a tremendous resource. It's one of our most popular resources. This one here, Refuting Evolution, the major scientific evidence is used in public schools and colleges to teach kids evolution, refuted by a man who is a scientist. Tremendous witnessing tool. And what we do is we offer those three together. Basically, you get three for the price of two. We want so much for everyone to get that basic set of books. Every teenager upwards, we believe, should read those. We have reproduced another book just last week, One Blood, to do with the origin of so-called races. Do you know there's only one race of people? We're all the same skin colour. It's easy to answer where Cain got his wife. The influence of evolution on racism. Do you know there was no such thing as the curse of Ham? I'm sensitive to that, having the name of Ham. But anyway, we'll talk about that there. If you're interested in evangelism, how do you evangelize a post-Christian culture? The Bible tells us in Acts 17, actually, Paul's ministry to the Greeks. It's a method of evangelism to reach a non-Christian world. Some of our children's books, my wife and I have five children, as I say, four Australians and one American, so we understand Americans. And this is a book to teach children the gospel. Notes at the back that you can use in teaching Sunday school to connect the Bible to the real world. The same with this one here. Tremendous teaching tools. There are witnessing booklets like these that you can use to witness to others in today's world. They're different. They talk about Jesus and salvation and so on, but they first of all answer questions of the age to introduce them to God's Word as history. And I encourage everyone, if you want one of the greatest tools in the world, the Creation Magazine, glossy, colorful magazine, it goes out around the world, and it's one of the greatest tools you could ever get to connect the Bible to the real world, to teach your children how to put on those biblical glasses, a family magazine, so much better than things like National Geographic. By the way, how many of you have read National Geographic at some stage? Most of us, right? Did you know that National Geographic has to apologize to the world this month? It had a big article in November about a feathered dinosaur, all in color. And we now find out the fossil was a hoax. And that's happened before with National Geographic. But you know, we need to teach our children the truth, a great missionary witnessing tool. And if you want to get that, a lot of you, I noticed some of you didn't get it, but a lot of you got a sheet as you came in the door. They're on the tables anyway. If you subscribe to the magazine today, we'll give you a free CD of our singer, Buddy Davis, because we so want people to get that tool, tremendous tool. Buddy sings songs based upon our lectures. It's one way to teach children the content of our lectures. And don't forget the, if you want a video of a message similar to this morning, it was done here in Grace Community. It's a collector's item now. That's the Genesis solution. We have some of those out there on the table as well. And I just pray and trust that you recognize that what the creation evolution issue is all about ultimately is the authority of the Word of God. And I want to challenge us that maybe there's some people this morning have to repent of adding man's ideas to the Bible instead of building our thinking on God's Word and judging man's opinions accordingly. And I'll hand back to you, Pastor.